Second part, a distracted world, part two. In the last part, we summarized the state of the world to the extent that we are able to determine where attempts are being made to distract us from the actual goal through the influence of these world events. Today, I would like to continue with the basic thoughts of Noam Chomsky and compare the relevance of his thoughts on distraction and manipulation and how manipulation can have an impact for us Christians today. I probably think that you don't know Volker Pispers. He's a German cabaret artist, and he ended his career at the end of his height in the Corona period in Germany. And Volker's most famous quote was, "When you know the bad guy, the day has structure." A major topic and central point of manipulation is the creation of enemy images. Chomsky argues that finding scapegoats or enemy images, be it in the form of countries, ideologies, or ethnic groups, is a common strategy to unite the population and to distract from internal problems. The strategy is often used to justify wars and to secure public consent for aggressive measures. Christ is clear on this issue. God condemns war. Rather, we are to see that we are the messengers of peace. So turn with me to our first scripture in Luke 6, verse 27 to 28. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And here it said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." And you can also look it up in the parallel scripture in Matthew 5, verse 42 to 45. In this world, people are encouraged to behave in a hostile way towards their own kind, and this is very sad. So another strategy is to replace logical reflection with irrational emotions. Communicate emotionally and hit the subconscious directly, they say. Ideally, this is done through fear. We saw the most recent examples as we followed the media during the health crisis in the years 2020 and 2022. We were constantly told the following: we will experience an overstretching of medical capacities in all countries, and in this respect, it is important to do everything the authorities dictate to us now. Sebastian Kurz, maybe you know him. He's the former chancellor of Austria, and he said the following words: "We have the situation in Italy and Spain where so many people are dying and that they are no longer know where they should put the bodies. We will soon have the situation in Austria where everyone knows someone who has died from the virus." Incredibly shocking statements. What do you think? People are driven into their emotions by such statements and put into fear, where they remain the most part. So let's go back a little bit further and remember the beginnings of the most well-known youth movements of this era, Fridays for Future. The speech to the 2018 UN Climate Summit in Katowice, Poland, was marked by a harsh tone. They really laid into each other. The speech to the 119 government representatives attending was not delivered by a recognized UN secretary or a president, but by a small, slender 15-year-old girl. Swedish Greta Thunberg used this public insult to great media effect to increase the moral pressure on the population. She delivered speeches over the next few years, and they were frightening. And as we know, a good frightening speech is the key to manipulation. So she scared thousands of children, especially in Europe, and drove them into the streets, waving flags. Fear can only be generated when ignorance is involved. The promotion of ignorance is crucial for an increased potential for fear. You might as well directly and bluntly encourage them to be ignorant. As Germany's most famous veteranian Lothar Wieler said at the time of the 2020 health crisis, for example, we will have to adhere to these rules for months to come. Yes, the standards must never be questioned at all. Keeping your distance and hygiene. So that's the basic rule that no one should and must no longer question. Insane. We must not be interested in creating fear. God's people are far away from fear. A firm connection to God the Father and Jesus Christ is of absolute necessity to maneuver through this fear-driven world. The creation and reinforcement of fear is another effective tool often used to promote the acceptance of measures that restrict individual freedom and strengthen the power of institutions. In the face of threats, whether real or imagined, people tend to be more open to authority. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Please turn there. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Consumerism and the undermining of critical thinking. In this case, Chomsky also emphasizes the role of the consumerism is in mass manipulation, which leads to individuals being distracted from the critical and political considerations. By encouraging people to focus on material goods and entertainment, their ability for critical analysis and reflection is undermined. 1 John 2, starting in verse 15. 1 John 2, starting in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust and the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, he says, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Modern companies such as Meta and Google are just the tip of the iceberg of an industrial complex that now has the world in his claws. For the most part, people have no idea what is going on in this world and what influence big industry and the military complex behind it have on them. The strategy of today's tech companies is to know people better than they know themselves. Data is the new gold. Not only Google, Meta, and Co. want to know everything about you. I really mean everything. Governments are also keen to find out what makes you tick. If you have this information, you are always one step ahead of the population. During the coronavirus crisis, it was the Green ID, maybe you remember. The introduction of which was welcomed by a number of governments around the world. The introduction of a centralized digital storage system can have various negative effects on people, especially if they are misused. And here are some potential risks. One could harbor a large amount of personal information. In the event of misuse, such as data leak or cyber attack, sensitive data of thousands or millions of people could fall into the wrong hands. Such systems offer the possibility of comprehensive surveillance of the population. Misuse could take the form of a state or a private surveillance, which can lead to a loss of privacy and personal freedom. Certain groups of people could be discriminated against, be it on the loss of health data, financial information, or personal behavior, or religious orientation. This is also happening in countries like China. In the event of misuse, the stored data could be manipulated or misinterpreted, leading to false conclusions and decisions that negatively impact people's lives. The constant fear of being monitored or tracked can have a psychological impact on people and change their behavior. To minimize these risks, strict private policies, transparency, and responsible data handling are needed to maintain public trust and protect the rights of individuals. But let's be honest, when have we ever seen such power used for good in long term? Probably never. I see a very big problem here, which is that it really comes down to a two-tier society in a wide variety of areas. There are massive economic interests that would like to have such data. Chomsky has provided valuable insights and tools to understand the dynamics and power and control through his critical analysis of the media landscape and the mechanisms of mass manipulation. His work challenges the public to be skeptical of the information they consume and encourages active engagement in the political process. Chomsky's ideas are relevant not only to media criticism, but also to understanding the social forces that shape individual perspective behavior. So Chomsky has taken the trouble to research the field of mass manipulation, and the result is his famous strategies of manipulation, which I didn't want to simply recite here, but rather show how each of us can protect themselves from their effects. The consequence of all this confusion can be seen everywhere around. The more people get involved in all this distraction, the further they move away from the essential. God. And we heard it yesterday, I think, keep it simple. Don't get distracted. Let's stay with God. Unfortunately, we are in the middle of a process that can no longer be reversed. Only the direct intervention by God can free the individual from being influenced. And God is very clear in his words. So please turn to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. And let us listen what he has to say. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Continuing in verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. They do not direct their deeds towards turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. Unfortunately, all these manifestations of distraction serve the purpose of keeping man separated from God. It is made impossible for the individual to recognize and follow God's true nature by their own strength. God, through his Spirit, gives us an awareness of wanting to escape the manipulative behavior of this world if we become more obedient to him. Ask him for wisdom in prayer and gain more knowledge of this world in the right way. He gives us the necessary tools. We also have to understand that the less obedient someone is to God, the more likely Satan can make use of this to deceive and to deter us. Ephesians chapter 2. We all know this passage. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Just as Jesus was obedient to his Father, I am firmly convinced that we are also obedient to him. And you are testifying this to me today with your attendance here at God's chosen feast site and with the fact that you are listening to us at this time. You have not allowed yourself to be distracted by the distractions of this world and have to come to conviction that it is more important to keep God's appointed Feast of Tabernacles and his last great day here in this place. Even today, the Sabbaths are still binding for the people of God. Why do people debate this? It's clearly written in the Bible. Ancient Israel and Judah have been punished for disobeying his commandments and defiling his holy Sabbaths. Back then, just as today, the people of Israel who allowed themselves to be distracted and manipulated away from the true God. Today, as then, God is very angry with people's behavior, especially when it comes to the modern descendants of the house of Israel and Judah, who trample on the Sabbath. God will judge them very soon. And God expects you to worship him in spirit and in truth, compared to John 4, verse 24. And if you act according to his commandments and gradually remove yourself from the entanglements of this world, God will make it possible for you to get to know him more and more. Do you want to be recognized and accepted by him? Ask yourself. You cannot be a part of God's family, and God will not be a part of your life until you obey his commandments in their entirety, including the weekly and the annual Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15. Let us also remember in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not a burden. God does not look at the person, compared to Acts 10:34. Everyone should be obedient to him. So don't get distracted, as we will go back to our places after the feast. Let us be patient, waiting for God's answer to our prayer of guidance. Let's think about what God has already done for us over the years. Some of my brothers and sisters here, and also in Germany, from God's church, can already say that they have served God faithfully for several decades or almost their whole lives. God already knows us throughout our lives and beyond, just as Mr. Frank Bruno quoted yesterday from the Psalms. And just as God is patient with us, he expects us victory over this abominable world. So for our last scripture, please turn to Ecclesiastes 12:13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the main point of all teaching. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this applies to all people.